and they survive. You know, God has put on the inside of us the ability to live. He breathed into us the breath of life and said, live. I like how if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it says when God breathed into Adam, he said, speak, spirit. He became a speaking spirit. I've heard Jesse minister on this, but that's what that word means. In other words, a speaking spirit, just like God, except we were in a body. Only difference between us and God is we have flesh as his kids. He doesn't have a body. He's a spirit. He has a spiritual body. But he gave us an earthly body. First he created the earth, and then he gave us a body, formed that body, and then he breathed into it the breath of life and said, speak. This has a lot had to do with what we're going to be talking about today. He hasn't changed his mind when he breathed into us the breath of life. We've got to be speaking, but we need to be speaking what God has for us. Somebody tell me two areas of life. How can we speak? We speak either life or death. There is no death in God. See, when he breathed into us the breath of life, he did not breathe in death. Get a picture of that. He breathed into us life. Life. Zoe. And that more abundantly, Jesus said. Jesus came back, in John 10, 9 and 10, said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, but I am come that you may have life and that more abundantly. Not only does he want to give you abundance in your wealth, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper. Life and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Your mind, your body, and your soul prosper with the thing God has given you. In other words, Cecil, we get to ride those motorcycles and enjoy the good things of God. Amen. Those hobbies that we like to do. Terry likes to work on cars. I think he likes to work on them even when he gets off work. Do you? No. See, I had a wrong understanding there. There you go. He just doesn't like to do it. See, God has blessed us all differently. I'm going to read kind of quick this morning. I'm going to read three different gospel accounts of the same thing, but I want you just to have your ears open. Let's pray over the word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message today. It ain't for me, Lord. Well, it is for me. I'm going to receive from it too, but it's everything you give me, everything you give us is to benefit others. You so loved the world that you gave Jesus because you wanted us to be a family. And that's how we get born again. We receive what you gave us as a free gift. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, what you have given me to share today. Freely you have given to me. Freely I receive. Freely I give to your people today. And Holy Spirit, I give you free, total ability to use me today. Use your gifts, talents, and abilities through me today that the Father has given. So I just receive that by faith. I believe that somebody's going to receive something that's going to change your life today in Jesus' name. Don't see me. Listen and see Jesus here today. Because this words that Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. As Terry talked about worship this morning, that's true worship. Jesus said, those that worship me, the true followers, those that worship me, must worship me in spirit and in truth. It has nothing to do with your body. Thank God it has nothing to do with my body up here because I can't dance and I don't have that little rhythm. I don't say I don't have it. I got a little bit, but I don't have it like others have. But I've got life. Yes. Amen. I've got the Spirit of God on the inside of me, and so do you. If you've received Jesus, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. Speak, Spirit. Speak. What do you want? God has given you all that you need. All that I have need is out there, but he's not going to come lay it on your doorstep. Unless you speak, God bring it to my doorstep. But that's not really the way he's going to operate. You're going to speak and you're going to, as you go, now he can do what he needs to do. However he needs to do it. If you can't walk too good, if you have a problem walking right now, he can get somebody to bring it to your doorstep. I'm not going to limit God, but you're going to say something. Receiving the blessings of God, you're going to end up saying something. So let me... Our keynote that I want you to be thinking about, if you need to turn there, if not, just listen, is in the book of James. And you're familiar with this scripture, James 1. I want you to just let this, take a snapshot of this and put it in your spirit, 19 and 20. qualities needed in trials and tribulations. This is what you're going to need when you're going through a trial. Something's coming up against you. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Speak, Spirit. But James is saying, be swift to hear. Got two ears, right? Hear, hear. Hear ye, hear ye. Swift to hear, but slow. Got one mouth. Hear, hear before you speak. Hear, hear. Hear what they're saying, then hear what God is saying. And then say what God says. Not what I say. Not what I want to say, right? It's coming through your brain, but you got to take it to your spirit. Got to filter it down there. That in mind, I'm going to start Matthew 21. We're going to start Matthew, we're going to hit Mark, and then we're going to hit John. The Holy Ghost is going to reveal something to you. He showed me something a little bit different. I'd never looked at it quite this way. And it's not for me, it's for your benefit too. Matthew 21, verses 12 through 22. And Jesus is going to be talking about the fig tree, but he's also... This is when Jesus cleansed the temple. Y'all remember when he went in there and cleansed the temple? 12 through 22, Matthew 21, 12 through 22. Then Jesus, this is after he had came in on the donkey, Hosanna, they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, the holy city. The Lord was coming in. King of glory was coming in. Had already came in, and then he was getting close to the temple. Then Jesus went into the temple. He came to church. Of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. This is your house. But you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. This is what religion will do to you. See a miracle of God and they were angry because it happened. We're in that day. Do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read? Been to church all their life, but have they picked up the Bible and read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected, Terry, perfected praise. Perfected praise. Jesus knew something about worship, and it wasn't there. It wasn't happening, and he got upset. Rightly so. And he left them, Jesus left them and went out to the city of Bethany, and he lodged there. And in the morning as he returned to the city, he was hungry. I'm hungry when I get up in the morning. And seeing a fig tree, he saw Bojangles. Had the sign open 24/7. By the road, he came to it, went to the drive-thru, and found nobody there. Nothing on that fig tree. But the sign was on, the leaves were there. The sign was saying, I'm open, we got food. Come in. I'm just paraphrasing. I love Bojangles. He came in and found nothing on it but leaves, and he said to the fig tree, speak, Spirit, let no fruit grow on you. Ever again. He shut down. He condemned Bojangles because they had the sign on, said come in, and wasn't nobody. Lights are on, but ain't nobody home. Jesus condemned that Bojangles, tore it down, cursed it. Nobody else can work here again. Immediately, that fig tree withered away. Now, I'm going to read three accounts here. So, and when the disciples saw it, they saw it, and they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither so soon? And Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith in God and do not doubt, you will not only do what's done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, it will be done. For whatsoever things you ask in prayer, here's the key, believing, you will receive. All right, now go over to the book of Mark. Matthew, Mark, verse 11. Mark 11, 11. We start off in Matthew 21, 11. It's kind of close there, 21, 12. Mark 11, 11. Now, this was the second time. I want you to know about Matthew. This was the second time Jesus cleansed the temple. It was a second cleansing. This was toward the end of his getting close to the crucifixion. John, Mark here is also the second time he went into the temple cleansing it. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And you know that if you look back here in Mark, if you go back and read, Jesus, he's came through a long way here in his ministry. And then he's coming to the temple again, to Jerusalem, to the Passover, a different feast that they would have. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, he looked around, came in here and looked around. They were singing, or you got to understand, the temple back then, they had an outer court where they would bring the offerings and they would sacrifice and they'd do all, I mean, it was a bloody, it was a sacrifice, and they were still doing the sacrifices back then. Thank God we're not sacrificing goats and cows. You don't have to bring a goat or chicken today or a lamb and sacrifice it. But, where'd I get to? Where'd I go? 11. The next day, and Jesus came in. He looked around at all things. As the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, the next day, when they had came out of Bethany, he was hungry and seen the Bojangles was closed again. That fig tree having no leaves, he went to see if it perhaps he could find something on it. Because a fig tree, if it had leaves, it's supposed to have figs. That's how he knew that fig tree had some food on it. And he went to see if it had some, so he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season. And in response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So he heard it. He said it loud enough where they could hear it. Jesus didn't say, "No fruit come from you again. Curse you for not having no food." No, he spoke boldly to that fig tree. He was hungry. Man get hungry, he say something. "Stop, woman, I'm hungry." That's the first thing Ruthie says when we take on those journeys. "Where are we eating at?" She don't say, "Dad, where are we going to eat?" No, "Where are we eating?" Mama says, "Shut up. We'll get there in a minute." Mama, she knows she's going to say it. "Just hush." She don't say, "Shut up." "Hush, we're going to get there. You're 7'16". Have we fed you? Or you're not malnutrition. We'll get you something to eat." But Ruth is a speaking spirit. "Speak, spirit." And it's usually Bojangles. So they came to Jerusalem after Jesus was hungry. He did not get fed. Man, don't get a man hungry. Get him to church and he's hungry, didn't get fed. And then church ain't happening what it's supposed to be going on. He came to Jerusalem and Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold the doves. Pulled the chair out from under them, kicked their chairs out. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple, the wares that did not belong there. And he taught them, saying to them, "Is it not written? Is it not written?" This is the second time he's cleansed the temple. "Is it not written? Have you not read?" Now you send the kids to school, you buy them the books. "Have you not read it?" This is how you pass the test. You read the book. Right? We pay him for the books, child. You've got to read them. "But you have made it a den of thieves." In other words, he said, "My house is supposed to be for prayer. People are supposed to come in and get healed, get a good message. But you have made it a den of merchandise. You're selling, you're buying." And the scribes and the chief priests, they were making the money. We talked about this morning. They heard it, and when they saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when evening had come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by the fig tree, they saw it dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." And Jesus answered the same thing and said, "Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be cast into the sea,'" and here's your key, "do not doubt in your heart." You can have doubt. You can be believing and still have doubt in your heart. You got to get the doubt out. You can still be believing for healing and have some doubt in your heart and it's kind of holding that healing. How you can get the doubt out? Put the faith in. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. See, because what you say can either help you or it can hurt you. We're talking about speak, spirit. Now we're going to the book of John, Matthew, Mark, John. What are we talking about? We're talking about church service. What's supposed to be happening at church? We're talking about being hungry. Trees supposed to be producing fruit, not getting them. We're talking about we're going to church hungry. We haven't been fed. We get to church, we're not finding what's supposed to be there. Go to John chapter 2. But I want you to see there's different, these gospel writers, They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they said things a little bit differently. It still, they made the same point, but they said things differently. John 2, verses 13 through 25. Now, this is the first time. This is after the wedding, after the wedding in Cana, where Jesus just had turned the water into wine because his mother asked him to. This is the first time he went into the church, into Jerusalem, into the temple. Verse 13, John 2, 13. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the money changers doing business. And when he had made a whip of cords, see, this is the first time we're talking about a whip now. Jesus getting a whip out. He made a whip of cords. And he drove them out of the temple, out of church, with the sheep and the oxen. Get a picture of this. We're talking about sheep. We're talking about cows, goats, whatever was there. Jesus whipping them and getting them out of the church, out of the temple. And it's a big temple out there. Can you imagine how loud and noisy this is? And Jesus got the whip out. And he poured out the changers' money on the ground, overturned the tables. Jesus made a mess. It was already in a mess. Can I get a weak amen? The church was already in a mess. But he was getting the mess out that started it. And he said to those who sold doves, "Speak, Spirit, take these things away. It is written, do not make my Father's house of merchandise." Then his disciples, they remembered it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." You know, sometimes you just kind of remember the old, "I'm just eating up with this. It's got me eating up." I'm fed up with this. Same thing. I'm eating up. All these sacrifices, God's tired of all these sacrifices. We're getting to a word a lot of times we want to judge people, but hypocrisy was in the church. Because you see, the religious people, they got mad when Jesus came in there. This is the I Am. This is the Son of God coming into, bringing the church into church. And they got mad at him. So the Jews answered and said to him, "This is what sign do you show to us since you do these things?" They don't know who they're talking to. This is El Shaddai, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. This is the I Am in a body. What signs? Got their chest out. What signs do you show about all these things? Jesus, he got an answer. You get in the master's face, he's going to come back with an answer if God's told him to say something, right? Because Pilate got in his face one time and he didn't have nothing to say. He answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it up. I'll raise it up." But see, their mind wasn't looking at his body. They were looking at this merchandise, this business they had going. They had a good business going on, making some good money at church. And the Jews said, "It has taken us 46 years to build this temple. And will you raise it up in 3 days?" They kind of scoffed at him. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. See, to a natural man, when you speak spiritual things, they can't understand it. They couldn't understand that. Rightly so, because they hadn't been reading the book. If they'd been reading the book, they could have had their ears open to be swift to hear. What's he saying? Man, this is, I think it was written. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's time to rejoice, but they didn't. They were, say, indignant. They were upset, messing up our church service. What are you going to say? What kind of sign are you going to show? Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, did those religious people remember? No. Who remembered? His disciples. Disciples, that's what we're teaching up here on Wednesday night, discipleship, evangelism. Those that the title of this is Lead by Example. Disciples, we have to lead by example. Disciples ain't just followers. They lead by example. They follow and others lead. They lead by example. If I'm following, a disciple is one who is a disciplined follower of somebody. His disciples knew when he rose from the dead, it came back to him. This is what he was talking about, his body, his temple. They understood. And see, that's important because that's the kingdom of heaven. That's how we get there. It's through that temple, through his sacrifice, not through going to church and bringing your cow and your bull and your goats. Amen. That blood is worthless of those animals. But the blood of Jesus is precious. It's precious. It'll bring you to church when you're 99 years old. That's what the blood of Jesus will do. It'll give you long life. Long life. Satisfy you with long life and show you God's salvation. It's an honor to have her to hear this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. She's been in some clean temples. She's been hearing some right things. Amen. Because if you hear some wrong stuff, you start saying wrong stuff, and it'll get you at the wrong church. You'll be in the wrong place in your life. My point today, man, I'm making a point before 11:10. Somebody's hungry in here. This has been a supernatural message. I'm almost getting close to the end. Are you hungry for something other than Bojangles this morning? Are you hungry for the Word of God? See, this is how you're going to have abundance. And you know, Terry, like I say, if I was standing up here and start looking at numbers, and Terry's right, we need more people in this place because this house needs to be full. And it ain't, maybe it's because it's not a house of merchandise. I'm just saying, maybe it's because we're not buying and selling. God wants His house full, but He wants the people being fed and not just being led. You know, you can have pastors lead you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. If you got the right shepherd, you shall not lack. Not all these shepherds out here. The Bible says there's some that are in wolves' clothing, pretending they're being hypocrites. They're coming to church, preaching this message, and they're not leading by example. They're not serving the Lord. They're serving man. They're serving, making it a business. Amen? So my point today, by comparing these three gospel accounts, it goes back to the opening scripture. James 1:19-20. Be swift to hear. Help me now. Slow to speak. Three points. Swift to hear. You know, hear, looking around the world, what's going on? There's all kinds of things we can hear. Be swift to hear all that. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Jesus knew the power that is released in what we say. If you've been in church, this church long enough, you've heard some good preaching from Pastor Dr. Price about what we say. What you say, it makes a difference, right? And rightly so, because Jesus knew it. He knew the power that's released by what we say. It doesn't matter. Whatever you say, there's power being released. Power. Speak, Spirit. God has not changed. He gave you a spirit to speak. He's not going to take that back from you, that authority to speak. But the devil came in and corrupted man's relationship with the Lord. I say I'm up here, but the relationship was down here, but then it got man's thinking wrong. Started saying wrong, believing wrong. Believing wrong will get you saying wrong. Okay? It all comes from your believing. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So it matters what you're putting in your heart. And how does it get to your heart? From your ears and from your eyes. Sometimes you can't plug them both up at the same time. You shut your eyes, you got to plug your, you know. I'm just saying something out here that you got to walk away from some stuff. Let me finish this and I'll say that. Jesus knew the power of this release in what we say. We speak either life or death. Jesus used the fig tree as an example of the power of words. When we believe and speak in faith, He used that fig tree as an example. That fig tree was a hypocrite. See, the fig tree was speaking to Jesus. I have figs. The lights was on. I got food. Its leaves were there. A hypocrite is somebody that professes something that they don't have, that they're not living. They're not leading by example. That fig tree was saying, I got food, but it got there. It was not. Jesus said, cut it down. At certain times He would tell, you just need to cut it down. He cut it down with the words that He said. He spoke death to that fig tree. He cursed it at the roots, and it withered away. It was being a hypocrite by not having food, not just for Jesus, but God created that fig tree to have fruit. Be fruitful. Multiply. But it was cursed. Jesus didn't curse it. He just finished it. The fig tree was already cursed. It was operating underneath the curse. Jesus said, you might as well cut this out, get it out of the ground so other trees can produce. You're taking nutrients out of the soil that somebody else can have, another tree can use. That's what he said. You might as well just burn it, cut it down. That tree, being a hypocrite, Jesus cursed it, had it removed. Here's a good point now. But when it comes to God's children, you and me, thank God you ain't a tree, right? Thank God we ain't trees. There's a lot of people that worship trees and still worship cows. Dallas's girlfriend just came back from South Africa to a mission trip. You know, they respect, you know, you don't if a cow is walking down the street, get out of his way. That's your ancestor. That's Cow Minnie. Cow Pearl. That's Miss Pearl coming down. You know, she comes in your house, you gotta back up and let the cow come on through. That's reincarnation, just people getting in error. But when it comes to God's children, we are special. Say, I'm special. You are special. You've been bought with a price. It ain't arrogance, but you've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're special. You are special. Boots had a good testimony this morning. What did that doctor's report say? She got a strong heart. She was waiting for her report. She got a good report. But she believed, did you believe that when you saw it or heard it? She believed it before it happened. She was believing before she got the report because she heard another report. The report of the Lord. It says, I am strong. Got a strong heart. Because she's special to the Lord. We are His children. We're His family. We're His family. We're all God's family. And Jesus went the extra mile. In Mark 11:25, you can flip back there if you need to. I'm just going to repeat it to you. Mark 11, it's the one we just read. This is after He cleansed the temple, and He said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you shall, as you say them, you'll have them. You shall have whatsoever you say. In verse 25, says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone that you know of, God's not asking you to confess something you don't know or that somebody's going to mess you up, get you disturbed as soon as you walk out of church service. You forgive them, then you walk outside and somebody comes out there and curses you for being a Christian. But He's just saying, whenever you stand praying, knowing you have something against somebody or they've done something, or any offense, just forgive them. Forgive him. Why? That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Maybe some you've committed or some you're going to commit. Go ahead and forgive now so you got grace waiting on you, mercy waiting on you when you mess up, right? Get as much mercy and forgiveness in the ground as you can. Sow mercy. Sow forgiveness. So you got abundance waiting on you, right? That's a good thing to sow too. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. It's simple. It's just simple. See, but the devil don't want you to think that. He wants you to get in strife and arguments and say, curse, start doing some cursing. I ain't talking about language. I'm talking about speaking words of death. That's what the devil wants you to do. So Jesus went the extra mile in the Gospel of Mark. He said not only did he not curse these religious people and all these people that were had church service all messed up. Not only did he not curse these leaders and the people in the temple, but he did what only God sent him to do. He forgave them. What did he do on the cross when he finished it all up? If there was anything left, that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He started in forgiveness. His whole ministry was about forgiveness, and he ended in forgiveness. Should we do any less? Any less? Do you want to walk? Do you want to have the abundance? Lead by example. Forgive. Be willing to forgive before you even have the opportunity to forgive. Be willing. And as you do that, God's able to forgive you. And then guess what? The devil can't get in. He can't get in there because you've got to give him an offense. You've got to be offended. Might as well say offended, offense. You've got to let the fence down. There's got to be a gap in the fence so the devil can come in and start messing around in your house and your stuff. Well, just keep the fence up. Forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They cuss me out. Lord, I forgave somebody on the way to church this morning. Anybody else forgive anybody on the way to church? I'm late. I'm running just later than I want to be. We got here before church service started. That's good, right? But I wanted to get here about 9:30. The lady's doing 40 miles an hour in a 55-mile zone. Minimum 55. She's doing 40. I can see the handicap sign. I can see the head. I think she's going to church. I'm like, Lord, bless her. She's left early to get to church. I know I only got 2 miles to go, and I'm going to take the shortcut. Bless her, Lord, because I couldn't pass. It's, you know, no passing zone. I gave forgiveness. I said, Lord, forgive her. She's going so slow. I loved her, and I blessed her. And I still got here on a little bit ahead, right? Forgive so God can forgive you. Let us be swift to hear. Help me. Let us be swift to hear, slow to speak. See, you can even stop as you're starting to say it. If you're thinking about being slow to speak, you can change it before you finish it. You can be, stop. You know, stop it. Slow to speak, not fast. I have a tendency of speaking a little faster than my head speaking faster than my mouth speaking faster than my head. You know what I'm saying? I think as I get older, I'll slow down a little bit. But we need to be swift to hear. Listen to what's going on. But then slow to speak. Filter it through your spirit. What is God called me to ask for God's wisdom on this situation? Amen? Swift to hear, slow to wrath. Because, see, Jesus... See, one gospel account, two of them didn't even mention the whip. If you think about it, you know, you got to put yourself, you're a disciple with Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, different ones. They told the story a little bit different. Amen? Matthew didn't mention no whip because he wanted to. Didn't even mention no time. Jesus immediately turned over the table. See, that's what he wanted to do. So he kind of thought that. Jesus did that, but it's like it happened immediately. Didn't give no time to sit down and do a whip. But see, God's word is different. And I think a lot of times Jesus will show us those examples. Well, Matthew left out that Jesus made a whip because, yeah, Matthew was like, all right, Jesus, take care of business. Let's get it done. Don't give them no time to repent. Get it done now. But see, because they were still in the flesh, they didn't have the Holy Spirit within them. But now they're giving an account. The Holy Spirit's just, they put in there. But then, somebody said, no, he sat down, he made a whip. Swift to hear, slow to speak. Because Jesus, if he would have spoke, he could have cursed those people. He could have spoke death. He could have spoke God's judgment. But he didn't come to take man's life. He came to give life. His disciples still had a problem with that. Because Jesus, man, Jesus, he had some power. These 12 disciples, they walked, and man, they seen miracles and healings and arms coming, growing out, and all kind of unclean spirits coming out of people, lives being changed, and people were following him. Man, that's some power. That same power is available here today. Amen? Amen. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. See, you never want to let, that scripture says, never let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Interpret that. You can interpret it a couple of different ways. I like also that we're never supposed to let the sun go down on our wrath. We're never supposed to see evil out here and we think it's okay. We're supposed to hate evil. Things that are evil. Not evil, not people, but evil. Things that are not right. Things that are dark. We're never supposed to let our sun go down on that wrath. But then also you can say, you know, never go to bed arguing. That's good too, but I'm talking about, and neither give place to the devil, because if we let, and the Bible says in the last days, they'll say evil is good and good is evil. And we're in that day. They're saying what we think is right. No, everybody ought to have the choice to do what they want to do. No, That's where it was in before the days of Noah, before the flood came. There's coming another. It ain't going to be a flood. It's going to be a fire, right? But those disciples, we're disciples here. We're following Jesus. We're not going through the fire. Remember the three Hebrew children? They were in the fire, but they didn't even smell like smoke. I'm not going through no fire. Jesus has went through the fire. For those that are His, He's taking us out of this mess. See, He's going to cleanse the temple before the day of judgment. There is coming a day of judgment when God's going to judge all the ungodliness. And we're coming back. The saints of God are coming back. See, because we hate evil. And when we see that, God's going to have to change our body and our minds, because we're going to look down here and we're coming with Jesus. And when He's going to, there's going to be people left that's ungodly, cursing the name of God. They're going to have to be slaughtered. I mean, that's not God's will. His will is that none perish, but there's going to be some that come in through the... There's a broad gate out there. Somebody, they're all being herded right through that broad gate. But Jesus said, narrow is the way, a path that leads to righteousness. He said, but many shall go by that broad way. That ain't a good broad way. Right? But we're on that narrow path, because we're in forgiveness. That's what it's about. Forgive so your Father can forgive you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this message today. Lord, it's an encouraging message. Jesus didn't curse people. He loves us, Lord. Lord, You are love, and You love Your people. So, Father, I thank You, Lord, that You have given us a ministry of reconciliation. I thank You for each person that's here, that's heard this message today, Father, that they have an understanding of who You truly are. You're not a taskmaster with a whip. You love people, but You hate evil. And Jesus had to straighten out. He had to cleanse your house so that those that were sick and needy could come in, because it was a house of ill repute. And Father, we thank You, Lord, for showing us Your true gospel, the good news that You love us so much, that You gave us Your only begotten Son, that through that sacrifice we can have truly begun to see the love that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I thank You for that. We praise You for that, for Your forgiveness and for Your grace. We thank You for that, Father. Thank You, Jesus.